Say good evening to you, ladies and gentlemen, children that are here on this very special occasion. It's our Sabbath School Social. It's come round again, and it's all happening. We always begin with a hymn, and we're going to sing probably the best known children's hymn that we have in the hymn book, 692. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. 692. Here tonight. He's another young grandfather, and we're going to ask him to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer as we begin. The first verse and the chorus of the hymn again. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Together, please, in the attitude of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to come near tonight. Even boys and girls can pray. Lord, come tonight, speak to our hearts. Let's all seek the Lord. Our loving God, gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee that we can gather in Thy house this evening. And we bless Thee for Him who is the theme of our song. We thank You for this lovely truth, Jesus loves me. We thank You that love was demonstrated on Calvary when He gave Himself as a ransom in order to redeem our lost souls from hell's destruction. Oh, we bless Thee for the gospel message. We thank You for that lovely truth that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ah, Lord, we thank Thee that we have a Savior tonight who died and rose again, one who is interested in children. We have our Savior's own invitation where He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." My Lord, we're all bidden in Thy word to behave as little children, to exercise the faith of a child, just to take the Lord at His word. When He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." We recognize, Lord, we're living in a very restless world. Men are caught up in the things of earth. Sin abounds in every hand. And men's minds are so occupied with the things of this old world that really there's little or no room for the Christ of God. But oh, we thank Thee we can come together this evening, and our prayer is for this gathering that Thy presence would be felt among us. We pray for all the children and young people who take part. We know, Lord, the amount of effort that has to go into an occasion like this. Bless those who have sought to instruct and train the children. And we pray for all as they participate tonight that not only will they be blessed in their own souls, but made to be a blessing to each of us. We pray, Lord, that throughout the program we will hear Thy speaking voice, whatever shape or form the meeting takes. We pray that Christ will have center place, that He'll have all the preeminence, and that as He is lifted up this evening, aye, that every heart would be drawn out after Him. Come then, presence Thyself with us. We thank Thee that in Thy presence there is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we pray, Lord, come, do our souls good. Bless this time. Make it to be a blessing to our souls. And grant that, aye, even on an occasion like this, some dear soul who maybe doesn't know the Lord might be brought to that place where they would cast themselves upon Him, know His forgiveness of sin, know His saving grace and power. Aye, and that in all these things His name would indeed be glorified. Continue with us. Do us good, we pray of Thee. And in all things magnify the name of our Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Well, we're going to come immediately to the program because there's always a good full program at the Sunday School Social. And we generally begin with the weir ones and we progress the way through getting up to the bigger ones as we continue. And then about halfway, we're going to sing a hymn. All right. But we're going to come straight to the first children that are going to participate. And you're going to sing a little piece called "Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day." And we'll ask those children to come forward. Ella Irwin, Lexi McGookin, Maggie Grace McLernan, Arthur Newell, Lewis McConaughey, Matthew Jones, Robert Watley, Andrew Archibald, Taylor Elliott, and Caleb Payne.
Thank you.
It's always lovely to see the wee ones taking part. And it's always very difficult to remember all those lines. Lots of lines to learn, but they did very well. And thank you very much. We're going to come to the joy of Jesus. And this is another piece that will be sung for us tonight. Naomi Johnson, Millie Blair, Alice McLernan, Amy Duncombe, Elijah Owens, Joa Owens, Calvin Mullen, and Zach Kane. That the joy of the Lord is our strength, and it's always good to have that joy seen in our faces. And I can't remember how many muscles it takes to frown, but it's only two muscles to smile, and it's good to have that joy in your face when you know the Lord. Thank you, children, for taking part. Now the choir is going to sing, and we'll ask all the children to come up and sing, "Do You Know That You've Been Born Again and God Is Good?" I'm sure you'll agree that the choir sung excellently. That was beautiful, children, and thank you for taking part and bringing those messages in song tonight. Oh, be careful, little eyes. That's the next piece. Grace Glenn, Ashton White, Katrina Nicol, Kendra White, and Kezzy Gordon. To the children who have just taken part, thank you very much. Dig, Dig, Dig is the title of the next piece. It's a recitation and singing. Jake Borland, Tommy Watley, Adam Archibald, Jemima Owens, Charlie Newell, Seth Campbell, Kyle Connor, and Lewis Elliott.
The Bible is the Word of God that is full of treasure. We want to teach our precious to them.
Here's some Bible gems. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
God is love.
If God is for us, who can be against us?
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
For by grace are you saved through faith.
Make sure you dig for treasure every day.
Have you?
Once again, we thank the children and for that lovely piece, and may the Lord help us to dig deep into the Word and get the treasure that God has for us there. A Missionary Heart. This is a poem and a song. Sophie McCauley, Eden Murray, Luke McCauley, and Alexis White.
A Missionary Heart.
Amy Carmichael, a little girl called Amy from Mullyland, County Down, she prayed to God for blue eyes to have instead of brown. As she grew older, God would change her heart until outreach with the Milgrims she did start. But God began to work some more. A missionary to India was now in store. Her brown eyes were needed to fit in, to tell the girls to repent of their sin. A mother to orphans and helper to all, she gave her life to answer God's call. So will you be like Amy, your life to the Lord to give, to tell others of Jesus so that they might live?
Dr. Bill Woods, a determined young man by the name of Bill, only found happiness when doing God's will. Giving his life, then answered God's call, he left for the Amazon to give his all. But it wasn't just preaching, share and tell. God led him to those who were ill and unwell. I want you to do something, challenged his behaviour, to help those with leprosy and tell of the Saviour. We love to see him come and share, a humble man who we remember in prayer. But what when Bill is too old to preach, who will go and stand in the breach?
Rory McAfee. Another young girl lived very close to here, a qualified teacher. She began her career at our Christian school. She did teach the boys and girls about Jesus, their souls to reach.
But God called her to the mission field, her life to a service she'd willingly yield. So to a school in Kenya where she taught the youth math, physics, science and the gospel truth.
Now Nora McAfee is one of our own. She's moving to Uganda to make God known, so who would go and fill her spot, good news to spread and children to be taught?
Thank you for that timely reminder of the Great Commission. The Lord has given us a commission to go into the world and preach the gospel. And may the Lord help us to take that seriously. God had only one son, and he gave him to be a missionary. Christ was the greatest missionary of all. Thank you, children. The next piece is entitled, Why Worry? And it is a recitation. Kyle Blair, Bethany Fletcher, Sarah Halliday, Alicia Morrison and Sophie McCandless.
Hey, why not come and play with us?
I don't think I can.
Why not?
I might get hurt.
You could get hurt just standing there.
What? Really? How?
Someone could be riding their bicycle and lose control and run right into you.
Oh no, what should I do? Should I move to another spot? Should I just go home?
Actually, more accidents happen in the home.
What? Seriously? Then I'm doomed.
Kyle, listen, don't be saying all that. Bethany, there is no need to worry.
Obviously there is.
We are told in the Bible that we do not have to worry about anything. God loves the sparrows, and God made sure the sparrows have enough to eat.
Are we going to starve? I don't want to starve. Help me, I'm going to die of starvation.
Mom thought you'd all be getting hungry, so she sent me out with some cookies. Supper will be ready in a couple of hours.
See, Mom's on top of things. She has never let us starve.
Well, now I'm thirsty. I'm so thirsty! Help me! I'm going to die of dehydration!
Mom thought you'd all be getting thirsty, so she sent me out with water.
Ah, that was close. Far too close.
Are you serious? God designed the body so that we can live for at least 3 days without water.
Just like Mom, God always makes sure that his children have what we need.
Except that I'm starting to get cold. So very cold.
Mom felt like I was starting to get cold, so she sent me out with your jumpers.
In the nick of time.
You've been worrying all afternoon. What good has that done?
What do you mean?
We didn't have any fun at all. You spent all your time worrying about stuff.
But something could have happened.
But nothing did happen. You worried all for nothing.
Let's say something did happen. How does worrying help you? In fact, worry about stuff can make you sick.
Oh no, I'm gonna get sick!
There you go again, and if you keep going, yeah, you'll probably get sick.
But I'm afraid to stop worrying.
Now you're worried about being worried.
Seriously? Did your worrying bring out the cookies, or the water, or your jumper?
No, I suppose not.
You suppose? It all happened because Mom cares about us and looking out for us.
But bad things still happen.
Sure, but worrying about stuff will not stop that from happening. And if and when the bad things do happen, God will still make sure that we have what we need.
The only thing that worrying does is make sure you do not enjoy yourself.
Don't you want to have some joy in your life?
Yes, yes I do, and I think I've used it enough time, so let's go do something.
Finally!
How about playing the swings?
Or we could play some football.
Or we could sing or read.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29-31, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father.
But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows.
The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
You can pray, trust you.
Now, there's a lesson, isn't there, for us all to learn? Very often, there's so many worries in this life. But we can come to the Lord who cares even for the little sparrow. He cares for us too. And that is the message that the children have. Thank you to the children. We're going to sing a hymn just now, 713. As you turn to it, we welcome you again to this special night. I want to thank the parents who send their children out so faithfully to our Sunday school. I want to thank our teachers and our superintendent for all the work that they do week by week in our Sunday school. And we want to just tell you tonight that there's supper, so don't go away. There's something nice for you to eat to help you on your way. I want to thank all who came to practice and put the children through their parts, for Elaine and Leah and the others who were involved. Now, just a couple of announcements. Tomorrow is the Lord's Day. Our worship service is at 12, followed by the Lord's table. And then tomorrow night is the Youth Challenge Parents' Night. So that's for the children, particularly from our Tuesday night meetings. And then next Friday night, let me give you an invitation to a special evening when our choir will sing a special piece, a cantata. And there's invitations there. If you didn't get one, please take one with you tonight. That's next Friday night. You'll be made most welcome. So let's sing this hymn together. It is a thing most wonderful. It's a hymn that leads us to the cross. May the Lord lead us to the cross tonight. 713. This is announcements, and then it says offering. If you didn't come prepared to give an offering, don't worry about that. We always lift an offering at the Sabbath School Social, and it goes towards our children's work. So it's easier to do that when you're sitting. Sorry about that. Verse 2. Well, we come to the second part of the program, and we have a musical item just now. We're going to ask Daniel Picken, Ellie McLernan, Elisa Nicol, Leah Atkinson, Byron McKinney, Lydia Owens, Joshua Fletcher, and Emma Dunlop to come forward. Thank you. Thank you very much to the young musicians. This is the Hebron Junior Philharmonic Orchestra that you've just heard tonight. Thank you for doing that piece tonight. I'm going to ask Ellie Lafferty, Rebecca Blair, Cherith Galt, Abby Halliday, Sarah Johnson and Catherine McCauley to come and sing I Believe. Thank you. That's the class of all young ladies, and they did very, very well. Thank you sincerely. Now, the next item is Lydia's conversion. We read about Lydia in the Bible and about a remarkable conversion experience that she had. And we just want you to note that at the start, there's a wee video clip, so probably you'll want to be looking up here. All right. And this is a video clip recitation and singing by Aaron Johnson, Rebecca Owens, Karis Parrock, Kerry Halliday, Samuel Picken, Sophie Barron, and Jonathan Ray.
Lydia's conversion.
Paul took Silas with him on his second missionary journey. They travelled north over land. Paul and Silas leave Syria and Antioch. Paul and Silas travelled through Syria and into Cilicia. They also worked in Derbe and Lystra, where Timothy was also recruited to join them.
Timothy, will you come with us on our journey?
Yes, I'll come.
Paul, Silas and Timothy travelled into Iconium. In these cities they had success in strengthening the disciples and they saw a number of souls saved. They then passed through the regions of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit would not let them go to Asia. In Mysia, the Holy Spirit changed their plans and instead sent them to Troas. They were now far out of the territory covered by the first journey, but they were to be called further. Paul received a vision calling him to Macedonia and specifically to the city of Philippi. In Philippi, a remarkable event occurs.
I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that made the heaven and the earth.
Paul, Silas and Timothy had heard that a group of people met by the river to worship on the Sabbath day.
So they went outside to the city gate to the meeting place. They sat down and began to speak to the women who were gathered there to pray. One of them was a woman named Lydia, who was from the city of Thyatira, which was in a district east of Macedonia. She was a dealer who sold purple cloth.
The scriptures that you have been taught before tell of the Messiah. In Genesis it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Isaiah the prophet said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Again, the scriptures say,
"He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not."
The one spoken about in the scriptures is none other than Jesus Christ. He came from heaven to die on the cross for us. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
As Paul preached the message of the gospel, the Lord opened the heart of Lydia to receive the message about the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed his words and responded to the teaching. She and the members of her household were baptized. Lydia always had her home open for the saints of God, and her home became a center of fellowship in Philippi. Paul continued to teach them and the people the words of Christ here and everywhere he went.
The Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 1:16, "There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, I know that our teacher come from God, for no man could do his miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered, saying to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can they are saying to him, into his mother's womb be born? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh, where it goeth. So is every one that is born of spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said, Art thou master of Israel that knows not these things?
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, ye receive not our witness. If I have told you first things, ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, even he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man that is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Send the light.
Thank you for that lovely singing and for the recitation and all that technology. See that technology? It's called chroma key. But you all knew that anyhow. As the Deer Pants, this is another singing piece. Keziah Owen, Sarah Glenn, Isaac Atkinson and Josh Murray. Quartet for taking part. Thank you in the Lord's name. We come to the life of David. This is a recitation now. Scott Blair, Harvey Lee Brennan, Toby McCauley and Jordan McCauley.
Tonight we are going to bring to you an account of the life of David and tell you just a few of the main events in his life and how we can learn from them.
Firstly, we learn that David came to know God whenever he was just a young boy, as he tended his father's sheep on the hillside and seen all that God had created around him. He realised that only a fool would say there is no God. David realised he was a sinner and confessed his sin to God. David received the gift of salvation as a young boy, But what about you tonight? Have you once said there is no God? However, we trust you like David and have already came and trusted God.
We then learn that once God has saved David, he stayed with him and protected him too, even when faced with going into the battle with Goliath. David had the confidence of the Lord with him and was able to defeat his enemy with only a sling and a stone. David was victorious and overcame the battle in his life because he had the Lord on his side. But what about you tonight? Are you facing battles in your life? We can rejoice tonight that if we have trusted God as our Saviour, he will stay with us and protect us through all our battles in life too.
As we continue to learn about David, we learn about the distance God's grace during his life. When given the opportunity to get rid of the man, who twice has tried to kill him, the grace of God shone through his life and resisted to kill himself. David was given opportunity to do wrong in his life, but chose to do right by obeying God's law. But what about you tonight? Does the grace of God shine through in your life? Do you honour God by obeying the Ten Commandments he has given to us?
Finally, we learn that David was human, just like each one of us, and he was prone to sin. When David was made king, he committed many terrible sins. Yet by using the prophet Nathan, God convicted David of his sin and made him realise the great pain and hurt he had caused the Lord. David realised the sin in his life and he realised he needed forgiveness from God. David came with a broken and contrite heart and repented of his sins to the Lord. But what about you tonight? Just as we have learned all about David and how he looked for forgiveness for his sins, will you come tonight and look for forgiveness for a sin that is in all of our lives?
Thank you very much to those young men who took part. May the Lord bless those thoughts to us. Now, just before I bring a short message, there's something very special going to happen now, and that is a little sketch, and it is six words that change the world. Many of you will know, certainly if you come here, it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and this is the story of Martin Luther. Daniel Glenn, Anna Ramsey, Chloe McCauley, Ben Galt, Jed Owens, Grace Murray, Jenny McCahan, and Gemma Halliday are going to do this. Thank you.
This year, we remember and celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So our short play tonight takes us back in time to a street in Wittenberg, Germany, where a young man called Martin Luther is caught in a terrible storm.
I vow that if I make it through this storm, I will commit my life to you and be a monk. I promise I will. I really mean it.
Sure enough, Luther survived, and true to his word, he became a monk. He kept trying to do enough good works to escape hellfire, but in his eyes, God was nothing but an angry judge. Nothing he could do was good enough for God. He was so troubled that one day he turned to the Bible for help.
This is amazing. This this is wonderful. Just listen. Are you listening? It is the words of Romans chapter 1 and the verse 17. Just six words. The just shall live by faith. We can't earn God's forgiveness. We simply have to accept it. By faith, we receive that wonderful gift free. And from my beloved book, Galatians, in the chapter 3, I love this book. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. These verses have been a turning point in my life. For we are justified by our faith in Christ alone.
Luther's life was different now. He had a peace in his heart that he had never experienced before. However, not everyone in the town had realised the truth that Luther had discovered. Soon after, a monk named Tetzel visited the town.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. Come and hear about these special merits that can be yours. Indulgences for sale here, signed by the Pope himself. Save yourself and your loved ones from purgatory.
Really, Mr. Tetzel? From purgatory? Does that mean my mother and grandmother can be free at last to go to heaven?
Yes, yes. Listen now. God and St. Peter call you. Consider the salvation of your souls and those of your loved ones departed. You, noble you, listen to the voices of your dead relatives and friends beseeching you and saying, pity us, pity us. We are in dire torment from which you can redeem us for a mere pittance. Remember that you can save them because, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. I have indulgences here for 2 years, 5 years, and for a greater price, for eternity.
Did you bring any relics with you?
Ah, yes. Here is a piece of the very cross on which our Saviour died. For a small price, you can touch it. And if you buy an indulgence, I'll even show you one of the actual coins given to that traitor Judas who betrayed our Lord.
Fraud! You are cheating these poor people into thinking they can buy their way into the kingdom of heaven. Relics indeed. I suppose you even have a piece of the burning bush that Moses saw. Be gone, monk. You're not welcome in Saxony. I tell you that he who giveth to the poor, or tenneth needy, does better than if he were to buy indulgences. Do you think, if you prayed before every ancient relic, you could get time off from purgatory? If the Pope can free suffering souls from purgatory, why not, for the sake of love, empty out purgatory altogether?
While Luther was furious with the deceitful monk, he also felt sorry for the poor townspeople, as he knew that this wasn't an isolated incident, and all over the country, indulgences were being sold to raise funds for Rome. He decided to take action.
Are these indulgences worth anything? Mr. Tetzel says so, but you say not. Why, Mr. Luther? Why?
Here are 95 reasons indulgences are wrong. Friends, you cannot buy your way to heaven, nor can you buy your wife out of purgatory. God has given us a way to be with him in heaven. He sent his only son to die for us. We don't have to do good works to get to heaven. All we have to do is have faith in him and believe that he paid the price for us to be with him in heaven. We can't buy our way into heaven with indulgences. Besides, why can't the Pope, who's one of the richest men in the world, build St. Peter's Basilica with his own money?
Before long, news of Luther's writings on the justification by faith alone and his preaching against indulgences reached the authorities in Rome, and he was ordered to appear before a special hearing called a Diet. It was held in a place called Worms and became known as the Diet of Worms. Not very appetising.
We shall draw up a condemnation of this man. We shall see how his faith stands up to a papal decree. We'll give him 60 days to recant or suffer excommunication.
Dr. Luther, we ask you two questions. Did you indeed write these books before us today? And secondly, do you deny everything that you have written in these books?
Unless you can convince me by scripture, and not by popes and councils, who They have often contradicted each other. Unless I am so convinced that I am wrong, I am bound to my beliefs by the text of the Bible. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Therefore, I cannot, and I will not recant.
If that is the case...
Here I stand. God help me. Amen.
If that is the case, so be it. But there is no place for you in the Church of Rome. Not, in fact, there is no place for you on God's earth.
Well said. Well said. We cannot allow this wild boar to invade our vineyard. If this heresy spreads throughout Saxony, the Church will have no authority at all.
But spread it did, and through Luther's teachings, many common people in cities, towns, and villages came to understand that the just shall live by faith. With the papal authorities against him, Luther's life was now in danger. He was kidnapped one night by his friends and hid away in Wartburg Castle. It was here he began to translate the Bible into German. Let's move forward a few years and join an older Martin Luther in his home.
Good morning, Dr. Luther. How are you today?
Fine, ma'am. Just fine.
Dr. Luther, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Martha at the Fishmongers told me yesterday that you were once a monk. Dr. Luther, is that so?
Yes, Mary, I was. Until the grace of God, through his precious word, opened my eyes and showed me that faith was in Christ alone.
Martha also said you were married to a nun. Dr. Luther, is that true?
Ah, I'll let Kate tell you about that.
Okay, let me tell you what happened. I was sent to convent as a teenager because my parents couldn't afford to keep me at home. When we heard about Dr. Luther's teachings on the just shall live by faith and that the Son of God sets free those who have shut themselves away under false vows, we had to write to Dr. Luther to see if he could help us escape the convent.
Ah, yes, and I arranged for the herring merchant to make a night-time delivery to your convent on Easter Eve.
And 12 of us used the cover of darkness to hide among the stinking fish barrels in the covered wagon that would eventually take us to Wittenberg. Dr. Luther arranged to find husbands or jobs for everyone, except me. Oh, he tried, but I finally got the help of a friend to offer a proposal to Dr. Luther.
Boy, but she was persistent. I thought it best to stay unmarried. After all, my life was in jeopardy and there was so much work to do. But my friends convinced me I needed a wife, so we married.
We've had our joys and our share of trials, especially when our 13-year-old daughter Magdalena died. Your health, Martin, was always my biggest concern. The people here would laugh at some of the home remedies I concocted for your headaches, digestive system and other ailments.
Nothing to mention his moodiness.
Although some of the best moments we shared together was when you pick your lute up after dinner and lead us all in a song.
Ah, yes. Next to the Word of God, music deserves the highest praise. There wasn't much singing in church in my day, so I wrote songs, sometimes stealing the music from common songs, and writing in words from the Gospel through music too. He is our mighty fortress, our ever-present help in trouble. I wonder if anyone still sings that song I wrote back then.
Arnold.
You can appreciate a lot of hard work goes into what has taken place tonight, in every aspect of it, and a lot of hard work in that we play. We want to thank the young people for doing that. It's a very timely reminder because of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We're coming to the end now. I'm glad I had help. Everybody knows what a mountain is, don't you? You all know what a mountain is. I'm going to speak tonight on Bible mountains. And just before I come to the message, I want to read some verses from the Bible from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, you should be able to see it before you if our technology is working. Verse 9 through to verse 11. And when he, that is Jesus, had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Who has ever climbed a mountain? Put your hand up. Have you ever climbed a mountain? When I was a wee boy, my dad would take me to climb mountains and hills. And in fact, he was from a town that was built on a hill. Do you know any town that's built on a hill in Northern Ireland? Limavady. Is Limavady built on a hill? Oh, there you go. I'm thinking of Rathfrieland. All right, you maybe know about Rathfrieland on the hill. And you can't get into Rathfrieland without going up the hill. So you've climbed mountains, have you? What mountains have you climbed? You climbed the sand dune. That was a big mountain, wasn't it? Ah, down at the sea. Okay, very good. Anybody else? Can you think of any mountains in Northern Ireland? What's the highest mountain in Northern Ireland? I'm going to have to now pass this back to teachers at school about their geography. Some of the older ones will maybe know. Think of Newcastle. County Down, the mountains of Mourne. The Mourne's, that's the range of mountains. Where is the mountain? It is Slieve Donard. Slieve Donard. And Slieve Donard, if you want to know how high it is, it's 850 metres high. So it's pretty big. I'm surprised that you children haven't climbed Slieve Donard. What's the highest mountain in the United Kingdom? Now, you children look very clever, I know, and you're sitting right up here at the front, but I'm a wee bit worried that the front ones are putting their hand up and not the back ones. Just a wee bit worried. Yes? That's not in the United Kingdom. I'll maybe come to that in a minute. United Kingdom. Do you know where the United Kingdom is? It's still part of this big area called Europe. At the moment, anyhow. Okay, we'll have to ask Erwin Holmes. If you want to know about mountains, you ask Erwin. Ben Nevis. Ben Nevis, that's right. And do you know where Ben Nevis is? What country is it in? It's in the United Kingdom, but it's in Scotland. That's right. And Ben Nevis is 1,344 metres high. That's pretty high. And do you know there's snow on top of that mountain all year round, because it's cold. The higher you go, the colder it gets. Now, the highest mountain in the world. You've got to know that. See, as more hands going up, you know more about the world than you do about Northern Ireland. Elijah. Mount Everest. Do you know how high it is? It's approximately 10 times the height of Donard. Andrew would know. Andrew's my clever son. 8,848 meters. Okay. He's not making it up. I give him the notes. I give him the notes. That's why he knows. So, do you know where Mount Everest is? You've been listening to some of our missionaries that come along. You might just know where it is. Where is it? Nepal. So if you know, we've got missionaries in Nepal. There's Nepal is there. And then north of Nepal is a big country called China. And south is another country called India. But Mount Everest is in both of those countries up there, Nepal and China. And of course it is the highest mountain. Well, children, the Bible has a lot to say about mountains. And usually mountains are associated with great events. Great things happened. Memorable things happened. And God put them down into his word. And some of these things are to do with the worship of God and prayer that was made and sacrifices that were offered and great events in the past. There's a mountain, for example, called Ararat. Have you heard about that? I'm sure you have in Sunday school. And hopefully you're going to see these as we go along. Does anybody know anything about Mount Ararat? You read about it in Genesis chapter 8. Do you remember that this world was destroyed by a flood? Okay. In what period of time did that happen? Who was alive at that time? Do you remember? Noah. And he had been in the ark for how long? How long was he in the ark altogether? Now, children should know this from your Sunday school. A little bit more. No. A year and 10 days. All right. And after he was in the ark all that period of time, the ark came to settle on top of a mountain. And this is the mountain, Mount Ararat. And that's where God gave, you've seen a rainbow in the sky. It was God's covenant sign that he wasn't going to destroy the world again. And God says, when I see that rainbow, it will remind me of the covenant that I have made with you, that I will not destroy the world again by a flood. So you read about that in Genesis chapter 8. If you go a little bit further on in Genesis, you'll come to a chapter that tells us about Mount Moriah. All right? Have you heard about Mount Moriah? Abraham and Isaac, the story. When Abraham was asked by God to take your son and take a journey and go out into the place where I'm going to show you. And he came to Moriah, and there he was to offer Isaac upon the sacrifice. And it's a wonderful story that we'll not go into tonight. But you know how Isaac's life was spared and a ram was found instead. A great gospel lesson there. And then we have another mountain. And this is a strange word. It's called Pisgah. Pisgah. All right, we have a hymn with that word in it. And from Mount Pisgah's lofty height. And it's associated with a man called Moses. And you read about it in the last chapter of Deuteronomy. And God brought Moses up into Mount Pisgah. And he showed him something. He showed him something wonderful. Do you know what he showed him? The promised land. Moses never got into the promised land. But God showed him, here's the land that I promised to give to Israel. And the Bible says that Moses died up there in the mount. And God buried him. Imagine that. The only one in the Bible that we read about that died and God buried him. And then I think of another mountain, Mount Carmel. All right. And there's a prophet. He's the prophet of fire. He's called Elijah. And Elijah is associated with this mountain. And he went up there to prove who the true God was. Because there was a great battle going on in Israel. Who is the true God? Is it the Lord, the one that we read about in the Bible, whose name is Jehovah? Or is it this other God that belongs to the Baalite prophets? Is it Baal? And so everybody agreed that the God who answered by fire would be recognized as the true God. And you remember how they built their altars and put their sacrifice on the altars, and the true God showed himself. It was the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, and he sent the fire. Now, just at the end of this wee time together, I'm going to finish with three mountains that are very, very important. And I want you to really listen to what I'm going to say. The first mountain, just as we close, is a mountain called Mount Sinai. Okay? Mount Sinai. This is important. It's associated with the law. Do you know what the law is? Do you know you've got laws in this country? Do you know you've got laws in your school? Do you know that you've got laws in your home? Maybe your mum and dad don't call them laws, but they are laws. And they said, this is how it's going to be. And if you break the law, this is what the punishment is going to be. And we have that in the law of the land. And in God's word, we have the law. And it's called the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. And so God takes Moses up into this mountain. And I want you to try and imagine what's happening here. Just close your eyes for a moment. And you try to picture this mountain. And the Bible says there are thick clouds. And then in the midst of all these clouds, there is the lightning. You've seen lightning before. And this lightning is flashing. And with the lightning, there is great thunder. And you can hear the crash of the thunder. And then the Bible says that there's fire. And there's clouds. And then there's a great shaking. The earth is trembling. What's happening, children? You can open your eyes again. God is coming down. And God is making himself known. He really wants to get the attention of the people that are down there in the plain. He's giving his law to Moses, the Ten Commandments, and God is making himself known. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not steal. And all these commandments, 10 of them, God has given his commands. And those are commandments that we are to obey. But you know something? We have broken these rules. We have broken these laws. All of us. We have broken the commandments of God. And you know what that makes us? It makes us sinners in the sight of God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Here is God's glory, God's perfect standard. It is summarized in the what we call the moral law, the Ten Commandments. Here's God's standard. But we have come short. Coming short means that we're down here somewhere. We saw some of the children, they were shrinking tonight. Some of them were shrinking better than others, but we've come short. We don't match the holy standard of God. And that's a great problem. We are law breakers. We have broken God's law. And that's an awful thing because there is a punishment. Remember we say if you break the laws of your home, you do something that your parents tell you not to do, maybe there's a punishment that's going to follow. And God has put in his word that the punishment is death. Eternal death. I want to come to the second mountain. It's called Mount Calvary. Now, if Sinai reminds us of the law, Calvary is reminding us about grace. What happened at Calvary? What happened there? So important. Leah. Jesus died upon the cross. You will know that God sent his son into the world. We have heard verses tonight that have spoken about God sending his son. You will know that Jesus lived in this world. And he lived a perfect and a holy life. And so you've read maybe and you've heard in Sunday school about the miracles that he did. All right, blind people were made to see. Deaf people were made to hear. People that were lame, couldn't walk, they were made to walk. People that were dead were raised to life. You've heard about the miracles of Christ. And you've heard maybe about his sermons, the things that he preached when he was here upon the earth. And then at the end of his life, he stood before a man called Pontius Pilate, and he was judged unjustly. And he was sentenced to the cross. And children, they took the Lord Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son, and they beat him, they scourged him, the Bible says. They plaited a crown of thorns and pushed it into his head. And then they made him carry the cross. And there you can see the Lord Jesus Christ walking through the streets of Jerusalem, being pushed and shoved all the way outside the city walls. And the Bible says when they came to the place which is called Calvary, or another word, Golgotha, because maybe you can see in the picture, it's like the shape of a skull. And that's how it got its name, Golgotha. When they came to the place called Calvary, they crucified him. And I want you to understand now what's happening. Jesus Christ is suffering. Jesus Christ is dying. Our sin, you and I that are lawbreakers, our sin is now being laid upon Christ. It is being transferred to Christ. And you know what he became? He became the substitute. You know what a substitute is? Anybody play football? Somebody gets injured and they bring on a substitute. Okay? It is somebody to take that person's place. Jesus on the cross took our place, took our punishment. The Bible says he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we think of Sinai. The law was given. We have broken the law. We think of Calvary. Jesus Christ went there to die for lawbreakers. You and I, all of us, sinners. He became sin for us. He took our sin. He was punished in our stead. One final mountain. And it's a mountain that is called Olivet. All right? The Mount of Olives. Have you heard of the Mount of Olives? It was a very famous place in the life of Christ. In fact, just at the bottom of the Mount of Olives, there was a garden called Gethsemane. Jesus prayed there. The Bible said he sweat great drops of blood in a great agony just before he went to the cross. And now we think of Mount Olivet. Jesus has risen from the dead. He was crucified. He's risen from the dead. He showed himself to the disciples. I'm alive. I'm alive forever. 40 days have passed by, and Jesus is having the very last meeting with his disciples. And he has it here at this place called Olivet. And he gives his final instructions. You've heard about missionary work and going into the world and preaching the gospel. You've heard it tonight. And that's what he told his disciples to do. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Tell men and women how a Savior has come to save you from sin. And that was the Great Commission, we call it. And once he had given his final instructions, the Bible says he was taken up. Right here on Mount Olivet, he was taken up in the clouds. And he vanished out of the sight of the disciples. We call that the ascension. Jesus ascended into glory. And that must have been a very strange thing that happened. The disciples are standing there, and they're looking up, they're gazing. Where's he gone? Where's he gone? Two men, we read about it tonight, are standing there. They are angels, and they have a message for the disciples. And the message is this. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, he's going to come in like fashion, just in the same way. He's coming again. And children, that has still to happen. Jesus is coming again. And he's coming for his people. And I wonder tonight, are you one of his people? You've thought of Sinai, we are lawbreakers, we're sinners. You've thought of Calvary, Jesus died for sinners, he took our place. And we need to come to him and trust him, just as we heard in the play tonight. That great truth of Martin Luther, that he came to discover in the Word of God, the just shall live by faith. I can be made right with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a step of faith that I need to take. And he's coming back for those who have taken that step of faith. And he's going to receive us to himself. And just as I close, one verse of Scripture, just as we close. This is what Jesus said about his coming again. Be ye also ready. for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Jesus is coming again. And the great question for us all, are we ready? Have we made preparation? Do we know Christ as our Saviour? Have we taken that step of faith that has brought Christ into our hearts, into our lives, and our sin has been dealt with, and we have been made right with God? That's a step that you can take. You can take it tonight. You can come to know Christ as your Saviour. That's the great prayer of our church. Our elders and our committee and our Sunday school teachers and our superintendent, for all the children that come to our Sunday school, it is that you might come to know Christ as Saviour, and your mums and your dads and your family members too. Let's just bow together in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we think of the mountains of the Bible, we think of these lessons that are so important, the giving of the law and how we've broken that law, but how Jesus at Calvary went to the cross to pay the price for our sin, to open up the door into heaven. We thank thee that we can, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, have redemption and salvation and forgiveness for our sin. It is our prayer that all of our children in Sunday school and their families will be ready for that day when Jesus comes again to receive his people to himself. We pray for the boys and girls that the Lord will indeed save them. And we pray for their families that that will happen there too. Lord, bless tonight. Bless your word that we've heard in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to the Saviour. Make no delay. I'm going to sing that just before we get the prizes given out to you tonight, children. It's the hymn 701. 701. We'll sing the first two verses only, and then we will hand it over to our Superintendent Wesley, and you will take the rest. You know what's happening more than I do in the giving out of these prizes tonight, so looking forward to that as well. And then when that's all over, we'll be able to close in prayer and have something to eat and then go home. All right? Let's all stand to sing. Once again, we want to thank our superintendent and we want to thank our teachers for the hard work that they do every week and also for the extra work that they put into making tonight happen. We're going to hand over now to Wesley, our superintendent.
Okay, boys and girls, I want to thank you as well because you did really, really well tonight and you had lots and lots of words to remember and you did extremely well and remember all those words. I couldn't have remembered them. So you did very well. So I think you should reach over and give us Laura a pat on the back. Will you? Good. Well done. And I'd also like to thank all the parents for coming tonight, and not only tonight, but sending the boys and girls out right throughout the year, every Sunday morning, and to the practices as well. Because it wouldn't be much fun for us coming along to Sunday school if there was no children here. So we really appreciate that. And to the teachers as well, we want to say a big thank you. Mr. Park has already thanked you, but I want to thank you as well. And for all the work that you've put in over the past few Thursday nights, everybody has made a big effort. We combined classes this year to try and cut the programme down and make it a wee bit shorter, but it still seems to have gone on quite a long time. But we really appreciate all your hard work, especially to Melanie and Elaine and Leah for helping out in the choir. We appreciate that. And also to the media team. The media team done a lot of hard work this week. I think Barry and Paul and Nigel and Samuel were in nearly every night getting the mics sorted out and making sure that everything worked and everybody was able to hear. So we want to thank you for that. So now is the time for your prizes. So we're going to ask Siri to come and help me and Mrs. Park to come and present the prizes, and we'll get that underway just as quick as we can. Okay. The first prizes that we're going to give out are prizes for attendance. And we have shields for the boys and girls who never missed a single day at Sunday school all year. And that's right throughout the Sunday school year. Now, there were some boys and girls that joined us through the year and they didn't miss a day. But unfortunately, you don't get a shield tonight. You'll have to wait till next year and have full attendance for one whole year. So we're going to start off. Grace Murray. Well done, Grace. Aaron Johnson. Where's Aaron? Aaron Johnson. Sorry, you didn't hear your name, Aaron. Kerry Halliday. Cherith Galt. Aidan Murray. Leah Atkinson. Kyle Blair. Scott Blair. Joshua Fletcher. Jenny McCachan. Abby Halliday. Alice McLernan. Ben Galt. Alias Martin Luther. Naomi Johnson. Bethany Fletcher. Gemma Halliday. Sarah Halliday. Toby McCauley. Daniel Peckin. Isaac Atkinson. Chloe McCauley. Samuel Peckin. Anna Ramsey. Josh Murray. Sarah Johnson. And last but not least, Ellie McLernan. So well done to each one of you. 28 of our pupils, our Sunday school pupils, never missed a single day, and I think that's a huge achievement to be there every day at Sunday school. So the rest of our prizes now are for attendance and for the Sunday school examination. So we'll just go through them, starting with Taylor Elliott. Where's Taylor? Matthew Jones. Matthew's still awake, is he? Leah, you've passed that on. It's a long night, Matthew, I know. Caleb Payne. Ella Irwin. Lexi McGuigan. Arthur Newell. Maggie Grace McLernan. Andrew Archibald. Robert Watley. Lewis McConaughey. Lewis Elliott. Charlie Newell. Kyle Connor. Seth Campbell. Jake Borland. Taylor McCall. Jemima Owens. Tommy Watley. Adam Archibald. Emily Parrock. Zach Kane. Naomi Johnson. Alice McLernan. Calvin Mullen. Millie Blair. Elijah Owens. Joa Owens. Alyssa Nickel. Leah Atkinson. Brooklyn McIntyre. Jack Harris. Byron McKinney. Daniel Pickham. Ellie McLernan. Antonio Brennan. Sophie McCauley. Aidan Murray. Alexis White. Amy Stewart. Alistair Stewart. Cherith Galt. Catherine McCauley. Abby Halliday. Sarah Johnston. Rebecca Blair. Ellie Lafferty. Sarah Halliday. Bethany Fletcher. Sophia McCandless. Alyssa Morrison. Kyle Blair. Katrina Nickel. Madison Barron. Grace Lamb. Kendra White. Kenzie Gordon. Luke McCauley. William Adair. Kerry Halliday. Samuel Peckham. Jonathan Ray. Keziah Owens. Sarah Lamb. Josh Murray. Isaac Atkinson. Emma Dunlop. Thomas Ross. Ethan Cash. Joshua Fletcher. Lydia Owens. Aaron Johnson. Karis Parrott. Rebecca Owens. Harvey Lee Brennan. Jordan McCauley. Scott Blair. Toby McCauley. Gemma Holliday. Jed Owens. Grace Murray. Jenny McCacken. Chloe McCauley. William McDermott. Anna Ramsey. Ben Galt. Daniel Glenn. some vouchers here for those in the Bible class, so I'm going to call these out all at one time rather than have you all come up and down, so let's try and speed things up. Lydia Pickin, Anna Pickin, Chris Blair, Jonathan Story, Emily Ramsey, David Wright, Jack Wright, Aaron Galt, Laura Ann McCauley, Ross Archibald, Joshua Park, Rebecca Ray, Emily Hannah, Rebecca McCauley. Right, now we've got you all up here, could you sing? That was designed to speed things up, but it didn't really work. And then finally, we've got some prizes for the little ones that haven't started Sunday school yet that are attending church. So they come on a Sunday morning and mostly found in the choir room. And we want to encourage them so to join us in Sunday school maybe in a year or so's time. So we'll start off Robin Morrison. Harry Moore. And if the youngster's not here, maybe somebody could take the wee book for them. Cassia Park. Daniel Archibald. Michael McClelland and Daniel McClelland. James Irwin. Daniel Newell. Daniel's a good man. Caleb McConaughey. Isaac Hanna. Seth Hegarty. Alec Kane. Charlie Borland. There you go, Charlie. Well done. You give that to Charlie. Andrew McConaughey. Ava Fletcher. James Watley. Casey Connor. Ruben Borland. Haley Jane Gray. No, Haley Jane's sick, but maybe Jane will take it for her. Okay. Faye Campbell. Lennon Blair. And Lucas Blair. Take that for Lennon and Lucas. Okay, thank you very much, Mrs. Park and City. And I think you'll all be ready for your supper now, because if you weren't hungry before we started giving out the prizes, you're probably hungry now. So I just want to hand back to Reverend Park, for I think he has something else he wants to say.
Well, just before we ask Wesley to close in prayer and give thanks for the food, every year at our Sunday School Social, we want to, or has been the practice, to recognise our pianist and our organist. And we want to do that tonight. Pianist here, organist here, just to get you right. The Bible says it is required of stewards that they're faithful. And whatever the Lord has for us, and He has something for all of us in the Christian life, we are to be faithful. And we have two ladies that are faithful in the musical gifts that God has given to them, and that play almost every week. And we want to ask them to come forward and sing a duet. Neither of them want to sing, and neither of them want to say anything. But thank you in the Saviour's name. I got a wee text from Paul to say, and I know you're going for supper, but there might be something to see here regarding the cantata choir, just to whet your appetite for next Friday. Wesley, we'll ask you to close in prayer. Give thanks for the food.
Okay, boys and girls, I want you all to be nice and quiet. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. That's good. Nice and quiet, just for a wee moment, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us tonight. We thank you for the help given to all the boys and girls. And we thank you for thy word that we heard so clear tonight as well. And Lord, we just pray now that as we go to partake of this food, that you will bless it to us and bless our time together, for we ask it for thy name's sake. Amen. The tea will be served in the Carson complex, which is out through these doors and out into the main hall. The boys and girls would maybe give their prizes to their parents or leave them somewhere safe, so don't take them out with you into the tea area in case they get all mixed up. So if you give them to your parents or give them to your Sunday school teacher or somebody to keep for you while we're having our tea. And if the boys, the parents can join the boys and girls.
Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.